we have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs on Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
First, I need that national championship.
Welcome on in, everyone, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh, Johnny, and Sam. And ladies and gentlemen, we are hanging a banner. Your Fighting Illini are the 2021 Big Ten Tournament Champions. And boy, does that feel good to say. Let's get right into it. I know Josh was actually at the game, so I just want to hear, Josh, what was the experience like? I know there were only about 8,500 fans, but it was loud. I know it was loud.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was so, so loud. I've been trying to think of, like, this is obviously my favorite Illinois game I ever went to. It was just as loud as, like, our corner at the MSU game, like peak Orange Crush. It was amazing, and I don't know what else to say. Like, watching them cut down the nets, going through, like, lifting the trophy, kind of doing, like, a soccer celebration of, like, campeones, campeones. It was just awesome. I mean, they're all international players, so they of course, said it. But, yeah, it was really, really cool to be there and a delight to experience in person.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm definitely.
I don't want to make you too jealous.
No, that's okay. I'm happy with my decision, and, you know, that's the only explanation because I'm sure it was absolutely remarkable.
And most importantly, just so happy for this team that they got to experience that. I mean, you went 19-4 against the Big Ten. You went 16-4 in the regular season, and they didn't let you hang a banner for that. They didn't let you get a co-Big Ten chair. And we said, you know what? Fuck it. We'll do it ourselves. And no one's stopping us from raising this one.
Undisputed
and
banner.
It's just great to celebrate this group of guys. There's so many characters and so many people who picked Illinois over better programs and stuck with us during the tough times that it's fantastic that they get to be rewarded for their loyalty, their toughness, and most of all, just their incredible ability.
How about the foresight of Kofi Coburn after we lose to Florida Atlantic to see this, see this vision, this possibility in the pipeline a few years down the road?
He's a prognosticator. Yes, absolutely. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And good for him. I'm also looking into the future on purpose, getting in foul trouble so Georgie could come in and score 10 points in a row. He knew that was supposed to happen. So props to him. But let's just zoom out here for a second and talk about what this means. I know someone brought it up on the post-game press conference, or actually Brad brought it up himself. Like, he goes, I didn't forget the Eastern Illinois scrimmage in Peoria from 3 years ago. That was three short years ago where we're losing a game like that. And then to go from that turnaround to this in 3 years cannot be stated enough, cannot be underestimated. Yeah, Josh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was driving in from Indiana, and I was looking at the city skyline, and I said to the people I was with in the car, I was like, It was the kid who stayed home, and like we talked about Kofi, we talked about Georgie's performance. Kofi, Io didn't have his best game, but he stayed home 3 years later. He's a Big Ten champion. It's a big FU to all the guys that didn't decide to come to Chicago. This is our first Big Ten championship since 2005. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know who didn't decide to stay home?
I knew you were going to say it. EJ.
You know who won Mr. Basketball Io's senior year? EJ Liddell. I think karma worked itself out. I'm just, once again, just so proud of this team. And yeah, I mean, Io only scores 16 points in this game. It's fun to have a game where you have three guys who score 16. Io, Kofi, Curbelo, Georgie 12, DeMonte 13, Trent with 10. Mm-hmm. Like, some games like this are just fun where everyone has a moment like this and everyone gets rewarded for doing what they do. And if we didn't have one basket from one of those players, we lose that game in regulation.
Yeah. Each of those players, like you could say DeMonte, that shot in the paint there right at the end, that Trent three, the Georgie 2 minute spurt, all those guys, Granison hit a huge three, and it wasn't necessarily Io's best game. It was actually one of his rougher games, and Kofi getting into foul trouble. And so see those guys step up in a game like that just speaks to the depth of the team, and it's so unbelievable to watch.
And I think one thing we're so surprised by is they have a counterpunch to everything.
Right.
Anytime it seems like, oh, Ohio State has the momentum, oh, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to score. Like,
go back to yesterday, too.
Yeah.
You know, where we were in control, what felt like most of the game, and then Iowa starts to go on a run, and Bohannon starts to hit these threes like they do. But Illinois has a response every single time.
And that's why we're so confused almost as fans. We don't know what to do with our hands, because when we went to school, it was, you make the tournament, all you have to do is beat Rutgers. And right. We didn't do
oh,
it.
Man.
Like, we are so... we don't trust our team sometimes because of the battle scars that we had the past few years. And we just got to sit back and be like, wow, this team is just special. And this team has a killer instinct starting from the top with Brad Underwood's culture. And it's crazy.
I do think we actually need to cut to breaking news right now, because is our schedule released, Josh? Is that what you're referring to right now? Go
yeah.
ahead. Give it to us live on the air.
We play Friday. At the Indiana University, Purdue University of Indianapolis.
Okay.
Nice.
At 12:15.
Central time or Eastern time?
Central time. It's 1:15 Eastern time.
12:15 Central time Friday. Now, my follow-up question to that is a second round time set yet for that?
I have to look.
I know we got to take this one game at a time, but is that set as well? So 12:15.
Don't discount Drexel.
I'm not discounting the Dragons. I've seen their campus. It's adjacent to Penn.
We were there. Yeah.
I don't want to discount the Dragons, but just for all of us, logistics wise. But yeah, okay, 12:15 Friday. Make sure you set your clocks after daylight savings there. We don't want you to miss the game by an hour. Johnny, I'm sorry, we had to cut to that breaking news there. Now that we've got that little tidbit out of the way and we know when we're playing.
And I mean, I appreciate that. We now know when we're playing Drexel, and Drexel does have experience against some former Illini. In their semifinal game, they did beat Northeastern, had held Greg Aboigbedin to 0 points in 6 minutes. So they've held down a number 11 in Illinois before. We'll see if they can do it again.
I think it is important to ask, with a 12:15 game, are you guys eating lunch before or after? Like,
during,
how do you? Is
during.
It like a late,
did you guys,
late
did you guys
breakfast?
Take off? Did you guys take off?
What do you mean?
Didn't take Friday off.
Ooh.
1 verse 16, come on. Come on, that's a multitasking.
Yeah, but the boss doesn't know. There's the boss button that you can press.
That's Sweet. Me scheduling a meeting from 1 to 2.
Maddie, to answer your question earlier, if I remember correctly from my experience of watching tournaments, if you have an early game Friday, you usually have an early game the next
So you play in a similar time, I would imagine.
Like a 1 o'clock Sunday game, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Perfect.
That's fair. I mean, that's great. Great time. 12:15. I love it. Absolutely love it. You get the game out of the way early, because that's one of the first tip-offs. The game starts around 11:12, I believe, so that's one of the first tip-offs. So you get it out of the way. You hopefully enjoy it, and you hopefully enjoy the rest of the first round, and then you do it again for the second round, and you enjoy the rest of the second round.
We're the third tip-off, third game tipped off.
Are we the first ooey-pooey game? The reason I ask is I think I will be finishing a flight at that time.
Oh no.
So any delays we can get, we'll take.
I think the flight out of Hartford is a little late, so hope your plane's getting in a little late, so you might be a little delayed there.
They do run a slow offense.
They need to de-ice the plane down there in South Florida. Okay. So we did get a little off track there, but I think that really is important. I do, again, one more time, just want to bring it back to the big picture here, because I just feel like I still can't wrap my mind around it. I see Io getting interviewed on ESPN, and I still have to text my friends. I still have to text you guys. I got to be like, Io's on ESPN. Io's being interviewed. But then you realize, like, no kidding, he's going to be interviewed. He's one of the best players in the country. We're a one seed, and I still can't wrap my mind around the fact every time they talk about Illinois on ESPN or on CBS, I still can't wrap my mind around it, but it's like, this is who you talk about. You talk about a one seed. You talk about an All-American.
Jim Nantz calling Io DeSumo Mr. Do-It-All. Like, Jim Nantz only calls college basketball games when they matter, and he's saying that about Io DeSumo. It's crazy.
If you want some early bulletin board material, the person who is not calling Io Mr. Do-It-All is Wally Cerbiak of CBS. I was watching a little bit of their coverage earlier, and he said that watching the game down the stretch, that he was concerned about some of the things that Illinois were doing and was concerned about some of Io's tendencies, I guess. And he also claimed that their chemistry tends to be an issue. So, Wally, I won't say what I want to say. I hope you're wrong.
Yeah, at the game, it's funny that you say that we have bad chemistry. At the game, I was legitimately looking at all of our whole team. It probably was shown on TV, just their arms around each other during like the last 3 minutes of both the regulation and during like the overtime. They're all just together. It's chemistry issues? Are you
right.
kidding
you
me?
You see Georgie and Kofi with their arms around each other for 26 minutes of a press conference. That was amazing, by the way. Amazing. It was really amazing to see Georgie's press conference. It was just
amazing.
It was amazing. Just amazing.
They said amazing, what, 11 times?
11 times in 30 seconds. It was amazing.
But going back to the chemistry problems, like, Io was such a leader. When he was out, he was texting these guys like, you guys are picking me up, all this stuff. When we were beating Michigan, he's the last guy to be sulking. And it's such a human feeling to be like, wow, I kind of don't want my team to be doing better when I'm not there, because what does that mean for me? And he was the last person to do that, the loudest person on the sidelines. So Wally Szczerbiak, you don't know what the heck you're talking about. You haven't watched a single game of Illinois basketball. And quite frankly, Andre Cobrello thinks Io is like the person he's learning from, the person he wants to soak in all this information from. Everyone else knows he's the leader. He's the alpha on our team. So I don't know what the heck you're talking about.
I read your text saying what Wally Szczerbiak said. And I said to myself, well, I said it out loud. I was like, who gave Wally, like, why is Wally Szczerbiak like an announcer? Who gave him a mic? And then I realized
we have a podcast. Yeah, who gave us a microphone? That, you know, yeah, we can never make that argument again when anyone is in media, like an ex-player, and we're like, how did they get like a job? How did they get a role? Yeah, we absolutely have no right to claim that ever again. But if you want a little early bulletin board material, if you're the Fighting Illini basketball team, hey, put Wally's quote up on the board there about not having any chemistry. Not that this team needs any more juice, as Bobby likes to say. Anything else about the actual game or the banner that we get before we actually start talking about moving forward, our tournament game?
John, do I have like an old takes exposed you want to go through?
Yeah, let's talk about that. Back when Josh and I were driving down to the 2019 Big Ten tournament, Io's freshman year, Brad Underwood's second season, Josh is telling me about his theory how we can never win a Big Ten tournament with Brad Underwood because we're going to be too tired because our defense is so pressure oriented and there's so much movement that by day three we're just going to be so gassed. And Brad Underwood is a Big Ten tournament champion.
Yeah, my response to that was Stephen Gentry decided to come to the line. I know he changed their offense, but our defense changed with that as well.
Yeah, we'd like to thank Neil Gonta, the Boston Celtics intern, for his work and analytics department.
And then Kofi
Cockburn for just being the reason why we can protect the rim.
Yeah, there was one more. It was like whoever made the decision today, Brad, Orlando, Chin, to switch Trent to switch Io to Trent was guarding, Dwayne Washington, who played phenomenally.
Dude just hit tough shots. But
yeah,
you think about the ringer of like going back to the Wisconsin game, Trice. And then Bohannon, and then Washington. It's like, whoo, like, these guys are just good, incredible players, incredible shooters. These guys just going on absolute heaters against us.
Yeah, Bohannon took a few extra shots today, didn't he?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. I don't even know if we have time to get into that now. But
shout out to our brother podcast, The Field Pass, who, I mean, they got into the middle of the beef and start to like they're annoying Bohannon so much that all of a sudden he's like, oh yeah, maybe this banner's not going to stay up forever, implying that Illinois is paying their players. Like, what?
Right, because after the FAU game.
Yeah,
there's no history of us like Iowa former Iowa players or coaches considering us cheaters, right?
Yeah, implying that we've paid players. Never happened before. Bruce Pearl,
right? It's just a low take as an NCAA athlete. I get you're salty, you lost. It's just a low blow, man. Like, you lost the game.
My favorite thing, too, is he tweets this gif saying, oh, that's not a foul, when it's clearly a foul, when he's clearly, like, impeding Adam Miller's elbow and hitting his hand. Like, Jordan Bohannon, I thought you played basketball and understood the rules, and your team lost by 11 points.
Yeah, so that's all we'll say about that. And I do just want to add one thing before we talk about the actual tournament. It is Pi Day, right? I would say that we won about 3.14 games in the Big Ten tournament if you include overtime. Nice. So that's just a nice little tidbit there. Yeah, just a nice little tidbit there if you're doing the math at home.
One thing that I want to talk about just in terms of being a one seed and winning the Big Ten tournament, just like how far we've come, is looking back at the past, I don't know, five seasons of us as Illinois fans. 2015-2016 season, we lose to North Florida at home. We also lose to Providence. We also lose to Notre Dame. Then let's talk 2016 season. We lose to Winthrop. We lose by 30 to West Virginia.
That guy was good, though. That one guy, that Johnson, it might have been, that one point guard, the really short guy, really good. But yes.
Really good.
Go on. Shouldn't have lost that.
Shouldn't have lost that. Yeah, then the Rutgers home loss. I mean, we were not good in the Big Ten. We never had an above 500 season with John Gross. Then let's talk Brad Underwood era. We touched on it. Eastern Illinois lost that game. Yes, it was exhibition, but like Illinois really lost to Eastern Illinois. Then we lose to UNLV. We lose at Wake Forest. We lose to New Mexico State at the United Center.
Then you go, what, 0-8 in the Big Ten to start that year, was it? When we became, but it, you did become the best 0-8 Big Ten team in the country.
Yeah, and then, you follow that with Brad Underwood's second season. You lose to... you get swept in Maui. You lose at Notre Dame, home against Georgetown. You lose to Florida Atlantic. And, I mean, 12-21, 14-18. Like, how did we just so quickly turn from a good team, from a terrible team to a good team in 2020 to...
a contender?
A top three team, according to the committee, we would say a top two team. Top two team, according to 538. Top three team, according to Ken Pom. Like, it's not just the eye test. It's not just the analytics. Everyone, America thinks Illinois is legit. Yeah.
You brought up 538, which I really like. Should we talk a little 538
right
now?
Yeah, let's talk it.
I love 538. I like Nate Silver. He hasn't been wrong since 2016. So let's talk a little bit 538 here. Now, Johnny and I have actually looked at these statistics here, but I know Josh and Sam have not. So let's say that I'll just ask you this. What do you think our odds of winning the tournament are, according to 538? Go ahead, Josh.
7%.
Sam?
I was going to say 1 in 20.
Okay.
5%.
So 5%. Well, boy, do I have good news for you.
Did you think I didn't know that was 5%?
No, I didn't. I didn't know that. I was just preferred in a percentile. We're going to reduce. 14% says 538.
Sorry, that was bad podcasting. Both of Sam and I's eyes just both lit up.
I know, right? Yeah. Michigan, according to the site, 4%. Gonzaga, 27%. Baylor, 14%. Illinois, 14%.
So we're tied?
Yeah.
Yes. Which is just, again, one of many mind-boggling statistics of this season. Assuming we beat the Drexel Dragons at 12:15 on Friday at IUPUI, we face either Loyola or Georgia Tech. If we face Loyola, we are given... Does anyone want to guess one more time? I know this is great radio.
81.
80.
We're looking at 80%. Yeah, it looks like 80% here if I'm reading this correctly.
I'm so good.
Yeah.
I just got prices right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. And it says 79% for Georgia Tech, which is interesting. But
their favorite, Loyola's favorite against Georgia Tech by like 1.5 or 2.
Yeah. So again, now this, if we really want to get into the nitty gritty here, Johnny and I have been going back and forth for hours talking about the 8-9 seeding, specifically with Loyola Chicago.
Well, yeah, what I was going to say, too, is looking back at the 538 thing, though, if they do have us, if we do exit the, if we win the second round game, our odds jump to 18% chance winning the tournament. So if you make the Sweet 16, according to 538, you have a 1 in 5 pretty much chance at winning it all.
Right. Looks like, our odds of making the Final Four right now are about 1 in 4.
No. Our odds in making the championship.
Championship is 1-4.
Our odds of making the final four is 43%.
43-44% to make the final four, which again, absolutely just an astonishing number.
So high level, like what were you like? I didn't watch Selection Sunday. So what were like your guys' initial take? I just saw they were playing it on the Jumbotron. It was kind of funny watching like Stephen Gentry getting his piece of the net, but like the whole entire team is like looking at the video board to see who we're playing. So like,
shout out really, Stephen Gentry. You didn't see this because you're watching the game in person, but it was one of the last timeouts. Brad's like holding the clipboard, and obviously Stephen is the offensive guru, and Stephen is like scribbling on the whiteboard, like drawing up the play as Brad's just kind of like watching. And that's not an indictment on Brad by any means. That's just a compliment to Stephen. Like, he's the offensive genius, the offensive guru. But yeah, that was probably pretty cool. They showed Illinois like cutting down the net, like Curbelo, as we're getting our number one seed, and that was cool. And then they also showed Ohio State in the locker room just kind of like clapping it up, you know, after their loss, pretending like nothing had happened.
Right. No, I was just saying, like, we saw Loyola, like, everyone in the crowd was like, like, not too excited. I sent our group chat saying, fuck this or whatever, and then I got a very pleasant response from Maddie.
That was my initial emotion, okay? One of the best parts about March Madness is that we just get to talk ad nauseum about every matchup for a whole week. We talk about Illinois, we talk about all the Field of 68. It's so much fun. But we got to enjoy for 5 seconds. Like, Josh's first reaction is, oh shit, we're maybe facing Loyola. Where I'm like, guys, we just faced a freaking gauntlet for the last 3 weeks, facing teams that are Final Four contenders, national championship contenders, Elite Eight contenders, top teams in the Big Ten, and like our initial reaction is, oh shit, we're gonna get stopped by an MVC team. When you really take a step back, yes, of course there's a chance, but like for 5 seconds, I mean, we're literally still cutting down the net.
See, yeah, I totally agree. We are confident in our team. We should be confident in our team. I think what some of us might have been feeling is, once again, kind of disrespected. And Loyola Chicago should also feel disrespected when they're the 9th best team in KenPom and the 10th best team in the net, and they're an 8 seed. Like, I'm sorry, that a lot of those advanced metrics seem to indicate that you are, I don't know, a 6 seed, a 7 seed, really. If you're the 9th best team, like, you have the quality to be a 3 seed. And it's just annoying that I'm so confident in our guys, we'll like rise the competition against anyone, but we shouldn't have to play the hardest game every single time. Like, it's not like, oh, just because we're playing like we're Illinois, that doesn't mean our 16 seed should be a team that should be slated as 11 seed. Like, that's not how the committee works. Like, and then not only do you give us Loyola as a potential tough draw, then you look at the Sweet 16 game and it's, oh, it's Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State, who Joe Lunardi thinks should be a 2 seed. Like, I'm not getting warm fuzzies from the committee. Like, to me, it's just, I still think we're going all the way, but I would prefer a fair path. And to me, we deserved a better draw than we got. And I mean, right off the bat too, there was a real argument for us to be the number 2 overall team instead of Baylor. I mean, the way that we finished the season versus the way they did, I think ultimately the head-to-head is a fair justification. But it's still like, it's kind of awesome that we still have this chip on our shoulder after all of this, after winning.
As fans, we have chips on our shoulders. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I think both sides of the coin are very fair. Again, I just, because we go back to the bigger picture here of what we were looking at 3 years ago and now, and it's like, before we can even take a breath, it's like, all right, we're already on to the next thing that we're offended by. And so, yeah, let's absolutely enjoy this. But yeah, I think it is pretty wild to see that Loyola's top 10 in both of those metrics, yet they fall to a much lower seed than they probably should be seeded.
I will say, though, I think Oklahoma State's 30th in that. So, I mean,
you are right. They are, they're 30th in KenPom. I'm not 100% sure what their net ranking is. And the issue there is just like, they pose some matchup problems for us. Like, who's guarding Cade Cunningham at 6'8"? Like, I hope this is, for me, I look at that and say, that's Io's defensive performance, where he shows NBA execs he's a lottery pick.
Does he put DeMonte by on
by shutting. I don't know. I'm not game planning. And there's a good chance Oklahoma State doesn't even make the Sweet 16, but I'm still like, we could just respect us. Just please respect us.
The conversation that I thought was very good after, like, after we discussed our initial reaction with Loyola was we going through the other eight and nine seeds. And like, if you look at it, there's only probably one other team like you definitely want to play, because North Carolina is an eight or nine. I don't know exactly what they are. And they're playing Wisconsin. Those are both two teams that are very good.
The nine. Yeah. I believe Wisconsin, the nine, UNC.
That's a very good game. Missouri is one of them. And I would never want to play them.
Okay. I disagree. we were having this discussion.
No.
Like, we're just so much of a better team than we were when we played them in December. Think about how we dominated Rutgers on Friday night and how we lost to Rutgers in the span of the same week that we lost to Missouri. I think we are just so much of a better team now than we were then. And meanwhile, Missouri's kind of faltered. It would be awesome to stick it to them and to stick it to that fan base. And they don't scare me at all.
Well, that's good, because we don't play them, and we can say that, I guess.
I'm just saying they're losing in the first round.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I mean, LSU, again, another 8-9 team that you're probably a little bit more afraid of, potentially, than Loyola. The only one where I'm for sure, like, I'd rather play them is probably St. Bonaventure. And again, I don't know anything about the Bonnies. I watched them play a little bit today in the A-10 championship. But again, it's hard, because there are some good 8-9 teams, but also I understand that Loyola was probably a little bit underseeded. And so we'll wait, and we'll talk about it, like I said, ad nauseum for the next 128 hours or whatever it is. And then, you know, hopefully in a week from now, we'll be talking about our next game against Oklahoma State, and we'll have a whole another week to talk about. Okay, so if you guys memorized our entire region of the bracket yet, because I quizzed Johnny about this like an hour ago, like, have you memorized everyone's matchup and seeding yet?
And guys, this is embarrassing, but I messed up Cleveland State and Morehead State.
No.
Right-handed.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, guys.
You know Morehead's the 14. You know Cleveland State is the 15 seed. You go down to 13 at Liberty. You know, you got the 5-12, Oregon State, you know, 10. I mean, I could do the whole thing. I guess I've got it burned in my brain.
We are big Oregon State and Liberty fans, and would love to see a 12-13 matchup between those two teams.
We can also talk about the next high seed in our bracket, Houston. Do you feel like that is a good 2 seed to draw out of that Midwest region there? Or, you know, talking about the other 2 seeds, of course, we've got Iowa, Ohio State, and Alabama.
Yeah, we weren't going to get Ohio State or Iowa, so getting Houston over Bama, I'm pretty happy about that.
I would kind of rather play Bama, but
we hear that like 80 times during a football season, and most of the time that doesn't work out. So I don't know if there's a translation over to basketball, but
to
we
honest,
want Bama
if we're,
is a lot.
If we're in the Elite Eight, I'm everything's golden.
that's my favorite thing about March Madness is we're like, first we have to play Loyola, then OK State, then West Virginia, then like as if it's definitely going to go in that exact order.
Yeah, like hopefully Houston's just irrelevant to us and Alabama. But my point about Alabama is like their non-conference, they lost to Stanford, they lost to Clemson, they lost to Western Kentucky versus Houston beat Texas Tech. And yeah, they lost a couple games in the American, but they've also consistently beaten teams by, I mean, like 30, 40 points sometimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what I do like about Houston is we get a chance for revenge. Kelvin Sampson, the Eric Gordon fiasco, we can squash that bug.
Yeah.
If the 3 seed ends up going far, we got the Brad Underwood, Bob Huggins, little like father and son, the apprentice beating the master.
Treat. Yeah.
But the team I really want to see is our good old pal, Alan Griffin.
Bubble Boeheim, he's at it again.
How did they get in? I'm so confused. How are they not in the first four? How are they in the tournament? It makes no sense. I thought they were busted yesterday, and now they're an 11 seed.
Bubble
it's ridiculous.
Bubble Boeheim, baby. January, February.
Yeah,
Bubble
is he paying
Boeheim.
The committee? Is he paying the committee?
No.
Are they afraid of Jim Boeheim?
I would love to face Syracuse at any point. And shout out Rutgers, first time, you know, I'm acting like, you know, we're Illinois, we're here all the time, whatever, like, shout out Rutgers, been here first time since 91, like, you know, they're just happy to be there, but, you know, because we're Illinois, but, hey, give me them again, but good for Rutgers.
I don't know about you guys, but that's such a, like, a Big Ten bias thing that I'm going to do in my brackets is, like, any 10-7 game or 8-9 game picking the Big Ten. It's Rutgers is beating Clemson.
You're battle tested. You are so battle tested.
As Brad Underwood would say, it's the best conference in the country.
It's an elite conference.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Anyone else we need to talk about? Johnny, again, he forgot Morehead State at 14. SDSU is fun as the 6 seed because we can all sit here and pretend like we know anything about SDSU, and it's extremely impressive that they're a 6 seed. So I think that's pretty cool. Go SDSU in the second round against West Virginia. That'd be pretty awesome.
I think SDSU lost to Utah State twice. I know Memphis beat Houston once, I think, and then they almost beat Houston another time. So there's a bit of a buck out on these two teams. If we draw Houston, I might need to give Penny Hardaway a call and see what the game plan is.
From a golf course?
From a golf course.
Yeah.
We'll have him.
What recruit was that? Nesbitt. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. There's always one.
There's always one. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, I think he's on the team. Oh, he's on Memphis.
Yeah, what's the over-under of how many Illinois recruits / transfers we play in this tournament?
I guess we have Syracuse as a possibility.
We've got 2-1 Syracuse.
Who's the other?
Quincy.
Oh, recruit. Yeah, Quincy Garrett.
Yeah. Recruit/transfer.
Oklahoma State, Bernard Kuma.
Yes.
Backup center.
Bernard Kuma.
The Nard Dog.
The Nard Dog. Yeah, absolutely. In our region, I think that's probably it. Like, did Illinois recruit
any of them? No,
Oscar Tshiebwe does not count. Did Illinois recruit any like those Loyola guys? I don't think so. Like any of the in-state guys, I'm trying to think. No, I think that's probably it. It would take another region of the bracket to face any of those guys, because it always feels like there's at least one. Whenever you turn on a college basketball game this year, I was like, oh, we recruited that guy, or I saw that guy practice in Ubbin, and then he picked another school, or he picked another school in his top three.
Yeah, that's the annoying thing about Loyola, though, is I feel like the committee placed them there partially just as a regional thing, which, one, does not make any sense when everyone is going to be in Indianapolis, and two, it's like they just want this, like, all the Chicago buzz and the good potential ratings of having Loyola play Illinois. And what I don't like is it gives kids like Cameron Crutwig, who are from the state of Illinois, that extra chip on their shoulder, being like, Illinois never recruited me, this and that, like you were taken down Big Brother because they disrespected us. Like, everyone's going to be motivated for this game, but I don't like that extra bulletin board material for them. And my only hope is that Loyola is so focused on taking down Illinois that they look past Georgia
little Wisconsin
Tech a little
football
bit.
Action versus Illinois.
Sorry, we've already looked past Drexel. They have a player on their team named Lamar Odin Jr. So it's like a Lamar Odom, but it's Greg Odin's younger. It's something like that. It's a great name. I had to bring that up. Go, Sam.
Is Cameron Crutwig right ahead of Kofi on the KenPom Player of the Year list? Am I making that up?
He is.
That someone needs to mention that.
Oh, there it is. If we're not the first, we're among the first. But look, yeah, I know we don't want to give Cameron Crutwig or Loyola any added incentive or boost, but look, Cameron Crutwig has not played a Kofi Coburn or anything like a Kofi Coburn yet. I know they're top 10 in the net and in the KenPom rankings, but you ain't played a Kofi Coburn yet. You got to body that guy. And I don't even know how many bigs he's played that were better than Georgie, necessarily. And again, this is just, again, my meatball argument that I go, oh, it's an MVC team. I don't care where they're ranked. They're only playing teams in their conference. And I hope I don't have to eat my words, but I'm not going to pretend like I know MVC basketball or Loyola basketball. But I can tell you that they have not matched up against athletes that are on the University of Illinois. They have not.
Yeah, my only fear with Loyola, or I guess like one point to add, is they did go undefeated at home. Interestingly, they didn't really play anyone tough non-conference at home. They lost to Wisconsin on the road. They lost to Richmond in a neutral site. But they did go undefeated at home.
What conference is IUPUI in? Are they in the same conference?
No, I think IUPUI is in the Horizon League.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But like, Loyalists played in gyms that look like IUPUIs.
True. That's fine. We played in a football stadium and beat everyone in the Big Ten. I think we're fine there. And thank you for talking to my language and just saying, like, okay, well, Georgie can probably take this guy. And One thing that we talked about while we were watching the game that we just need to talk about, it's a little of a tangent, but like how lucky we are to have Kofi Coburn and how much we might not realize how easy points he just generates for us. Like how many dunks we get to watch Kofi make. Like when we were, Mav Morgan got like two dunks a year. Like
he's got
Nana
over 70
Eglu.
This year. Yeah. But I think what's funny, Johnny, is we didn't realize it. He didn't realize it. I think we talked about this during the game that like a light bulb, and it is part of his like progression, his development, and also guys like Curbelo getting better at entry passes. Like a light has gone off with him as well, where he's also realizing like, holy shit, I'm 7 feet tall. I can just go up and I can dunk it.
Yeah, his footwork just got really good. And there was a point like right around conference play this year where he's like, I'm done laying this ball up. Like I'm dunking
the ball. I'm sending it in.
So I sat next to an Ohio State fan today, and he was like probably the prime internet commenter you would see like underneath like an Instagram.
Was it the Big Nut?
I don't know who it was.
When you're sitting next to the Big Nut, you know who the Big Nut is.
He might have been he might have been 17 or 18, but he like would talk about Kofi as like our father or something. But then he would call like us a poverty. It was literally, he called us a poverty program. IO's trash. Right before Kofi had like an and one or got fouled in the post, he called him trash. It was, he's not trash. It was, it was so great to sit next to. And then on the, like as he's walking out at the end of the game, I just gave him a good old beep, beep, drive home safely.
Amazing.
Look, that's part of the having fun
Josh,
with fans, though.
I'm a little bummed that your girlfriend was there, so you were probably quieter than you normally would be. And
I had a drive. That's more of the issue.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we were clear-headed during the entire time.
Yes.
But I hope you gave him a little business when he... What does it say about
with
your
the
team?
Body on the way out.
What does it say about your team if Iowa's trash and Kofi and we're a poverty program... That, and you guys are still losing to this poverty program?
2 out of 3 times.
He didn't start talking until they took the 1 point lead. It was, he was
I wonder if he was quiet during the 17 point lead. Oh, okay.
And then did it end with, oh, we'll see you in football. Okay, congrats. good job. Actually, you forfeited.
You forfeited, yes.
Speaking of, I just want to say, Brett, Bielema, it is a 10 out of 10 experience to have a Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil. 10 out of 10 would recommend.
I would
to
love to get
there.
Smoked by Ohio State next year. Hey, we'll see you guys. Yeah, wait, so when he said we'll see you in did he say we'll see you in football? Like, is he assuming that we're going to match up with them in the Big Ten championship in football next year?
No, he didn't say, no, Johnny was saying that he should have said, okay.
Oh, my, wait, guys, also, I just realized this. In our intro music next year at the State Farm Center, we get to say, the champ is here.
Dun, 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 dun.
The champ is here.
Right, because this intro music is first. Yeah. I need that national championship.
Yes.
And now, Io, you're 6 games away from it, buddy. It is all right there in front of you as a 1 seed. It is all right there. All right, I think this is a good place to wrap it on up. We have some good guests coming up here. Can we say it? Can we say it? Yeah, we got CBS's Tom Fornelli. He went to U of I. He wrote for the Champagne Room. He wrote for the Daily Illini. Big Illini fan, Illini guy. He's going to be on the podcast to talk Illinois, to maybe break down our first and second round matchup, potential matchup. So that is going to be an awesome podcast. So thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you on the next one. ILL.